Marketing success comes from identifying the right opportunities. And sponsoring the Marketing Trends podcast might just be the best opportunity you'll hear about today. With tens of thousands of listeners, expert creative, production, and strategic promotion teams at the helm, not to mention 2.2 million potential impressions at the ready, this is a growth opportunity you should not ignore. Reach out to info@mission.org to see how your business can benefit from partnering with the Marketing Trends team. Welcome to Marketing Trends. I'm your host, Jeremy Bergeron, the Vice President of Media Strategy at mission.org. And this is the show where twice a week, you'll get VIP access into the hearts and minds of some of the most influential marketers in the world. On Marketing Trends, we'll do two things. We'll go deep on a human level, and we'll go even deeper on the nitty-gritty of what makes for the most successful marketers and strategies today. I'm glad you're here. Now let's get into it. Leadership is something a lot of people think is about bragging rights or being the face of something. In reality, it's far more about encouraging teams and including others than it is about you as an individual. That's one thing that Steve Mazinski, global head of marketing at Fox Rent-A-Car, has worked so hard to do.
It's not my department, it's our department. So I'm going to make sure that's echoed throughout the organization, because when you kind of share in that, people realize that marketing isn't just Steve. Otherwise, if you're trying to grow a team, if they view it, well, Steve's always got it done because that's how Steve represents himself. The goal is to always, always pay it back to the people that actually help build behind it and give credit where credit is absolutely warranted and trumpet their successes.
Steve has been through it all, starting in the low ranks of marketing to heading up global operations. He's even gone through the good, bad, and ugly parts of acquisition, while keeping his eyes on the goal of reaching his customers in human ways that makes his entire company happy. Be sure to check out this episode of Marketing Trends as Steve shares some important insights on how you can actually bridge the gap between departments. I think you're going to love it. So Steve, dude, I'm super excited to connect with you, man. Of course, I know about Fox Rent-A-Car. I did know about the acquisition that happened. Were you there during the acquisition, Europe Car?
Yeah, so that's the fun part, right? So the job opened up in the summer of 2019, and I started, you know, the interview process and everything else. And during the interview process, the acquisition news came out, and I went,
"Oh wow,
okay, is this job still available?" So, no, it is. It's definitely a job that we have focused on a future. In fact, we want you to interview with the acquiring company.
Wow.
So I went through, for the first time ever in my life, I went through 6 rounds of interviews.
Whoa.
And I've never been through that many rounds of interviews. I'm going, damn, they're serious about this. So it actually endeared me a little bit more to the organization, knowing that they took that amount of thought and planning behind placing this role. Didn't give me that fear of, man, I'm going to get laid off, right, as a result of this acquisition, because, you know, I've been there, done that before, right?
Yeah.
Something gets acquired and suddenly, hey, guess what? You're out of a job.
Sure. Well, on that note, I mean, I think I saw something about, you know, that acquisition made Europe Car like the 5th largest car rental company in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big acquisition. Now, when you joined, of course, kind of after you from the outside looking in became head of marketing there, what did you notice now that this company was now acquired by Europe Car? Was there a ton of support offered now that wasn't there, you know, maybe before in the marketing? I know you weren't in the marketing team there, but what was there now existing that Europe Car now owns the business? And what did you notice?
Yeah, well, I will say that the biggest thing that I noticed right away was, let's say, motivation behind the marketing side of it.
Okay.
Marketing historically on the Fox side was always a cost center. Right.
Mm.
Okay. Marketing, do your job. Stay with inside your lanes. Here's your budget. Go get me people off of Google. And that's it. Right. I'm going, No, that's not really what marketing's role is. Is that I get where it was purely a transactional thought behind marketing.
Mm.
And, you know, always marketing's there to help generate transactions. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing? Right. But that was the initial first foray into the organization, is really that energy, and not being the only person.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you also joined, what was the team? Was it a pretty big marketing team? Was it decentralized? Was it centralized?
Yeah, so it definitely was nobody in the marketing sense. So the marketing organization at Fox disappeared for an entire 9-month period prior to my joining.
Whoa.
The previous person left the organization and they said, look, let's see what we can do without a marketing person. So for 9 months, they ran without a marketing person. The CTO was actually leading the paid search, which was an interesting aspect. And then the one marketing person that was there moved over into revenue management.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
And so they eventually came to the realization that we need a marketing team, right?
Yeah. So were you then kind of tasked with building that out?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And really building a full strategy, because I inherited nothing from the previous leaders.
Wow.
Other than the loan marketing employee that was in revenue management, bringing her back in underneath the marketing umbrella was really it.
Okay, because looking back in the kind of in the past of your experience, you looks like you were at Dollar Thrifty Automotive Group. You were there for like 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you went over to Hertz. You were director of digital marketing there for just over a year. So you obviously kind of got into the rental car space. Was that also where you learned marketing? Where did kind of your marketing chops first start? Was it before that, or was kind of the Dollar Thrifty days where you first started kind of seeing marketing at scale and getting into it and learning?
Yeah, so that's the oddity of my story. So you harken back way back to 1998 when I started back in marketing.
That's we go in late 90s. Yeah.
So that's really the start of the dot-com boom, right? So all the reservations, everything else were still being done over the phone through traditional travel agents, all that stuff. So I applied for a position 6 months prior to actually graduating from college. My dad found a newspaper article that might be aligned with what, you know, my degree was in. He goes, hey, it might be time to apply for this. And I went, really? I was like, I still got 6 more months. He goes, no, it's better to apply early. So I replied back to a position in marketing, and I mailed in my resume.
Wow.
And,
okay.
Sat down with the director at the time, and he was in charge of an interesting aspect of the marketing side, which is account management / inbound marketing. Okay. So he was responsible for marketing to Europeans. So my first foray was really in the international sector.
Wow.
And with big customers and clients like Virgin Holidays was one of our big customers. So, you know, as you can imagine, right, a company of that nature, I had no clue, right? I'm 21 years old, you know, from the middle of Oklahoma. I have no idea what the hell a Virgin Holidays even is.
Wow.
So that was kind of my first foray into marketing, is really understanding that aspect of it and kind of growing within that sector of marketing too, from a B2B standpoint.
Mm, okay.
and leveraging those relationships and understanding the communication abruptness that Americans have versus Europeans.
Mm.
I had no formalities, right? Coming out of college, I had, you know, a little bit of formalities, but not as much. And it was very, very traditional communication from that side of it. So that's how kind of I cut my teeth in the car rental world, and spent so many years through there because of the progression that I identified at Dollar Thrifty. And it was really a credit to learner environment where, you know, as you started to grow and as you started to learn, as you started to kind of showcase your skills, they would move and adjust you throughout the organization. So I kind of branched off and did a few different things, whether it's in the franchise space, and eventually landed in the digital space several years later. And that's kind of where, you know, I made a little bit more of a, not really made a name for myself, but I found my calling in that side of it, and really focused on consumer mindset, what the triggers are, how the analytics actually come into play into driving strategy behind that, and really harnessing that aspect of it, which I've loved ever since.
Mm. Now, what about this transition of kind of going from, you know, individual contributor marketer to leadership? Right, there's an interesting transition that happens for everyone that kind of goes from, hey, I'm part of this team, Now I'm also still part of the team, but now leading team and leading marketing. What was that transition like for you, kind of graduating into being a leader now, not just individually contributing?
Yeah. And I will say that I've always maintained my do it and continue to tackle the task myself versus delegating it. So that was the most difficult aspect for me is allowing somebody else's input and effort to actually help execute on something that I have as far as a vision. So I've had to figure out how to articulate that thing, do that in such a way that they can grasp it and still allow them the levity to put their own spin on it, but end up accomplishing the goal that we have in mind. So that was the hardest part is stop being a doer as much as being a strategizer behind the doing.
Mm. What did you notice kind of, shifting into this, trusting the team and trusting their expertise and you kind of letting go a little bit, stepping into leadership? But what are some of the things, maybe results, or maybe there's a story or something around you seeing, that happen?
Yeah, I will say that I like the fact that whenever I was the doer, that my boss would provide me with the accolades and not necessarily take credit for the actual success, even though he was the one that kind of came up with the strategy behind it. He would say, no, it was really because of Steve doing this, this, and this. So I've borrowed a hell of a lot of that throughout the years and saying, look, it's not my department. It's our department. So I'm going to make sure that, that's echoed throughout the organization, because when you kind of share in that, people realize that marketing isn't just Steve, right? And I don't want that to continue to be, because otherwise, if you're trying to grow a team and start saying how you need the team to actually continue to deliver on it, you're never going to get that team if they view it, well, Steve is just going to get that done, because Steve's always got it done because that's how Steve represents himself, right? Mm. So it's really the goal is to always pay it back to the people that actually help build behind it and give credit where credit is absolutely warranted and trumpet their successes and never really trumpet your own. Because the way I view that is I've always been rewarded by other people recognizing what I've done, and that's what I want to do. And then eventually, your own rewards will kind of come as a result of that. Because again, if the team's equipped to do that, they're going to provide that continuing challenge statements. Hey, we did this in the past. What if we do that? Right. And I don't want anybody on my team to ever think that they can't say, well, what if we do this? Right. I want to hear that.
What was the experience like of kind of building a team there at Fox Rent-A-Car? I mean, how do you know that you're hiring the right people? What's the mix of like people and then the tools and the tech that you want? Here you are, you jumped into this opportunity. Now you got to build out the team. You've just been acquired by Europcar. What kind of goes into your head and thinking about who's going to join the team? What technology am I going to use? Do you look at it kind of like, here's the funnel. I need someone on demand gen. I need someone middle into funnel. How do you go about kind of building that high performance team?
Yeah. So it all goes back to ROI, right? So that the return on investment. So where's the area that's going to offer the quickest? I'm looking for the quickest bang for the buck, right? Because in the end, car rental is about butts and seats, right? I need to get people to rent my cars, to take them on the road, return them so I can repeat that process. So the biggest aspect of anything in car rental is the website, because that's our gateway to the customer. That's what customer sees, whether it's on their mobile device, tablet, phone, and all that piece. So that's the biggest shift, is that 98% of our transactions are done online. So only 2% of them are done in a call center environment. So that's exactly where I looked at my team and went, okay, I need somebody dedicated to looking after the website alone and all the pieces that go into that website and maintaining it day in and day out basis. Because we hadn't made SEO updates since 2016.
Oh, wow.
On the website and several areas.
Wow.
So we've just been gradually benefiting from being Fox Rent-A-Car from an SEO standpoint, but we never benefited from being a car rental company in Los Angeles, a car rental company in Orlando.
Wow.
So we had to start bridging that piece of it out. So that's been hugely beneficial in the past year of bringing in just an e-com manager, a digital marketing manager.
Yeah.
So look, you own the website.
Wow.
So those pieces are yours to own. And then listening to them saying, okay, what tools will help you be successful? What are the areas that you need to assistance on? And then I've also been able to, let's call it, borrow talent from our European contingency, because there's a headquarters operation in Paris and they support a brand. But if there's one thing that the pandemic has actually benefited me greatly, is that the U.S. market returned back way faster than the European market. And we've had an amazing 2020, and they wanted to continue, or 2021, sorry. They wanted to continue to build on that. And they said, well, what do you need? And I said, I need people.
Wow.
And so they were able to provide an SEO agency. They were able to provide a search agency. They were able to provide an analytics component to us. So I've used those resources. So not necessarily at least my direct management,
right?
But I've used them from other areas to help me with you know, the the influx of demand that we've had in the US.
Wow.
And to build on that.
So kind of back to the SEO thing, was that something you noticed before you joined? You're like, wow, there's a big SEO opportunity. Did you see that before you joined?
Yeah. And I will say that that's where I thinned my tech stack too, very early on. And there was an SEO software provider that we were using, or that we were subscribing to, that we were using. So there's a lot of, you know, here's a strategy. Hey, here's another strategy. They're going, I can't do any of that. I've got to focus all over here on this pieces. So that was like the immediate cost savings that it is that eliminated a, you know, $100,000 line item to say, look, I know SEO is a problem. I'm not going to be able to address that immediately until I fix these other areas. Mm-hmm. Let's kill that aspect of it right now, because the cost savings on that software equaled a person. So I viewed a person more valuable than the software.
Got it.
Because you find a quick person that's going to look at some of these things going, wow, your page titles are all the same on these 98 pages.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I need you to go into those 98 pages.
Yeah.
And give me some unique page titles, right?
Wow. Well, it's so interesting too. Also thinking about, you know, hiring an agency versus having someone do it in-house. And it looks like you kind of, there's a bit of a mix there, which I've seen in a lot of organizations. But what's your approach when kind of looking at a problem and saying, okay, I want to go find someone to be a part of our team versus let's go find an agency?
For me, the absolute answer a lot of times is some of the core functions are best served by an agency.
Okay.
Search engine advertising, I'll never do that in-house.
Okay.
That's going to be an agency because you've got, right, they can throw bodies at it faster than you can throw bodies at it. And when you pay for a service, you're going, guys, this is a problem. So an agency is going to quickly go, cool, got it. We assign three more people to take a look at it.
Okay.
But the other part of it, like when we're talking, you know, promotional aspect of, you know, sending out emails, that'll always be internal.
Okay.
Because you've got to have those persons involved in conversations with revenue management to know where, you know, yield issues are, where demand issues are, where communication breakdowns are from an operation standpoint, and address those in your email communication.
Mm.
And then the creative aspect, I always find is kind of a good, that's where I have the hybrid model, using a little bit of outside agency for the creative and internal, because the internal, they know the product, they know Carbonyl. You're not going to find an agency that knows Carbonyl, right? Because it's not a sexy product. I'm sorry. I think we're a level above insurance, or maybe a level below, depending on who you ask, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I always, I love the Geico and Safe Farm and Farmers, all their commercials that kind of play on that comedy aspect of it, because it humanizes their brand. And so that's kind of the, you know, just when I approach things, I kind of look at it from, let's call it sister organizations on how they attack certain things and where I have the opportunity to kind of use that here.
Okay. And I also noticed that there was two things on your LinkedIn, the two achievements you mentioned, which I want to touch on these two. One was that you designed and developed a new CRM newsletter, and this grew audience by 137%, improved conversions. I mean, 30% improvement in 180 days. That's great. Can you kind of get into the nuts and bolts of some little deeper understanding of what you did there, what your approach was there? Because that's some cool results.
It is. And low-hanging fruit, right? When you first come into a job, you're like, okay, well, what's that low-hanging fruit? Where's an area that I have experience on that I can immediately have an impact? And previous organizations that had similar customer segments and everything else, it was email. And it was scheduling the email. It was scripting it to actually have an appropriate message on the appropriate day of the week. So one of the first things I looked at an email is it was sporadic.
Hmm.
We'd send an email on a Sunday, and then we wouldn't send another one 10 days later. And then we'd send one 2 days later, and then we'd send another one. I'm going, what are we doing? No, we're going to a tried and true model that I've had history on, which is Sunday, Thursday sends. We're going to send the first one on Sunday and a re-mail on Thursday for all the non-openers. Let's start there. Sunday, Thursday, and go. And we're going to send it to the full list. on Sunday. Everybody that's in it, I need to know who the hell my key customers are, because they were using a very, very, very abbreviated list of people that they know are, you know, high openers, high converters. And I went, no, send that to everybody. Mm-hmm. I need to, you know, because car rental, at least value car rental, is a 1, 2, or 3 times a year type of transaction. It's not an every day, every month, because with us being leisure oriented, 100% leisure oriented, you think of how often somebody takes a trip, whether it's a weekend trip or a long trip, or even, you know, a semi, you know, just a visiting family type trip, right? So those only happen at certain times a year. So I have to continue to fill their inbox with my promotion, so that way I stay relevant whenever there comes time for them to actually make that decision. So the only way to do that is at least include them on a weekly plan. Mm-hmm. If they don't convert on it, then I'll send them again on Thursday. But that's what I started. And that immediately, those two things, scheduling it and then grabbing the full list, immediately return results back to email, to where now it's an 8-figure line item, whereas previously just over a 7-figure line item for the organization.
Wow. Any direct mail happening, direct mail automation, or playing in that space at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to find that sweet spot where we actually fit in, you know, being a little bit more leisure, and where that direct mail piece would actually be timed out at. Mm-hmm. The ideas in mind were, you know, a lot of it, you know, harkens back to probably being like quarterly emails out to customers and just sending it to them, you know, hey, you know, you're getting ready for your summer trip. Now's the time to book. Here's, you know, here's an exclusive promotion just for you. Right.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. We had the CEO of Posty on the show a couple months back. This guy, Dave Fink, really nice guy. And they serve a lot of the Fortune 500 and beyond, and very interesting technology. And it kind of got our wheels turning a bit too internally about how, you know, brands are using it, how we might use it. And it's something that kind of keeps coming up. And I'm always curious to see how brands are testing it or thinking about it.
I guess probably the key thing there on that was, right, be unique. How can you be unique with that direct mail piece and not be another one that just gets filed right in the trash can?
Right, for sure. Yeah, got to be. What would you share with other marketing leaders about kind of how they can really start on this journey of creating a more seamless, just better end-to-end customer experience?
The biggest thing for me historically has always been blending the online and offline. So making sure that you always stay connected with that piece, because I don't own, being in the marketing department doesn't own the end transaction. Our corporate operations team owns that interaction with the customer. And largely the history has been the marketing leader does not get involved in any of those conversations, just kind of stay in your lane type of thing. And I've never been the one to be like that. So I have regular calls with the operations group going, okay, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. What's something that I'm not doing on the front side that's causing you a headache on the backside? Is it, you know, my email offer that I'm telling them, you know, includes X, Y, and Z? Is it I'm not fully disclosing certain terms on the outset and you're having to explain to the customer, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to do this whenever you rent a car. Here's some of our, you know, license requirements. They were wrong telling you on the front side. And then, you know, support material. So making sure our, you know, in location TV screens represent exactly what they're trying to do for an operation where they had the most success. One of the immediate answers people always say is, you know, car rentals got it wrong, airline got it right a few years ago with the kiosks. Well, unfortunately, you'll never get that way on the car rental side. And you know why? 35% of our revenue comes from whenever that customer talks to an actual rental sales agent. Mm. So a car rental company is not going to eliminate 35% of the revenue line because people are frustrated having to talk to a person. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is find those moments to optimize that transaction to where the length of time that they spend with that agent is focused on exactly what the agent's there to do, sell. So where are those marketing touch points that I can insert myself to pull that away from the agent's headache? Mm. Can I validate their driver's license? Can I get their credit card beforehand? Can I get them looking and reviewing the fleet and the policies before they actually show up at the location? So they become an educated renter, because an educated renter is better for us than an uneducated renter, knowing that, oh yeah, I know you guys are going to take a $500 deposit for me because I'm driving off the lot in a $50,000 automobile, right? Customers are always confused. They're like, no, my rental charges are $289. So that's all you need. Mm. Dude, you're leaving. You're taking a big piece of machinery from us. There's a few more things that we have to get from you. So Becoming that partner to that customer is kind of key, and being that partner to the people that do the transaction is kind of key for us from an end-to-end transaction. So it's kind of that, call it that triangle that marketing sees that always blends it right, because we always are going to be the person that looks for customers, but we need to remember our internal customer as well as our external customer whenever we do our marketing.
Yeah, because you're talking about kind of this frictionless experience, or as frictionless as possible, right? And especially right. In the world that we're living in now, why are these frictionless experiences so important for consumers today?
I personally, from my standpoint, I don't know if it's as much as frictionless, but it's probably more economical for me, for these customers, right? So what they want is we know for a fact customers want to be recognized, right? That they want to be known that, thanks, John Smith, for coming in today. We're glad that you're here. We see that you reserved a compact car with us, right? That's what I view as a frictionless experience, is you're not surprised that I'm here today to do a transaction with you. So that's where the friction rub comes in our vertical, is that, when you're surprised and you have nothing to, you know nothing about this customer, you're asking from everything from step one all the way through step 10. Mm-hmm. So for me in our travel vertical and in the Carbonyl world, the frictionless experience comes down to customer recognition and being aware of that customer's threat, that entire process. I think we've moved too far in some industries to avoid customer contact. And that's kind of been fear and approach that everybody has.
I get that.
But I think we need to get back to the world of, when you would go down to the corner grocery store, right? And you would know Al, the meat guy, right? And that's kind of the experience that we want to address in such a distant customer relationship on Carbonyl and how you attack that. So I think that's kind of key for us.
Now you spent time at Thrifty, you spent time at Hertz. Certainly you're learning, different things in these organizations. Now you're leading, global marketing at Fox Rent-A-Car. Were there things that you could take from those? Like, were there best practices, things that you're like, wow, Thrifty did this really well. Hertz did this really well. I can bring this into Fox. Were there things like that were glaring, easy layups for you to say, oh, we're going to start doing these five things because they work really well there? Or are you not really able to do that?
No, absolutely. You're able to do that. And that's the best part is, right? That's why I like where I'm at. I like being in the fighter brand because I can be that annoying little guy that can do things that, those traditional brands are afraid to actually take on themselves. And I can be a little bit more risky in some of the messages that I put out there, or not really confrontational or controversial on that front, but I can put things out there that I'm like, if they don't like it, they don't like it, right? Because I don't have the oversight that they do, right? There's a lot of eyeballs, especially on Hertz right now, right? Mm-hmm. They just came through bankruptcy.
Yep.
They've got, they just employed the GOAT as their spokesperson, right? I'm not going to be able to do that. So what can I do to continue to stay relevant to these, to the marketplace and make people know me? And that's the part that we're struggling with right now, just a little bit on a marketing standpoint, is, customers default to Fox Rent-A-Car, right? I don't like that, right? I don't want to be the default. I don't want to be the, I guess, Hertz is at $80 a day. Yeah, I'll spend, $25 less a day and rent from Fox. We'll give it a try, right? We need to, once we get that customer, we have to own that customer from that point forward and give them a reason. What's that stickiness that retains them? Mm-hmm. And for us right now, but the only thing that we have control over is that customer experience through and through. And that's the part that, technology is helping us with. And the training department is also helping us with and exercising that process.
Yeah,
because just kind of sharing on that part of it. So our number one acronym as an organization is NPS right now. So Net Promoter Score is huge here. I mean, it's I don't know if we all need to wear a t-shirt, right? I did it for the NPS. That's pretty much been the mantra as an organization. And in fact, our parent organization, Europcar, is getting acquired by Volkswagen as part of, you know, just where the industry's going and where everybody's going through. And the message, even from the persons that are involved in that transaction, as, you know, new leaders come into place, is, you know, what's your customer retention? What's your service level like? What's your NPS? Mm. And you're going, wow, right? That's, you know, not looking at financials, not looking at, you know, vehicle usage, all that other stuff. They're going, what are you doing to in the customer experience that makes you noticeable and makes you relevant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, that's something I was going to ask you about too. Cause if you Google Fox Rent-A-Car reviews, if you just Google that, you'll see a bunch of stuff there. There's some good, there's some bad, but it seems like reputation management is important right now for the brand, especially, you know, after the acquisition. This is a big opportunity. And I love how you're like, look, put me in the trenches, cause this is the thing that I want to go to bat for. What are some of the things you're doing in terms of, you know, improving customer, you know, retention, but also just reputation online? Cause there's a lot of eyeballs there, and a lot of it's old stuff and not as relevant now, but it's still showing up right top of page. Or is that a big focus for the marketing team, or kind of how do you assess that and tackle that?
Yeah. So we're doing a few different things. The biggest thing is, so we've signed up with an organization called Bird Eye. So Bird Eye, you know, just in our tech stack.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
So we were using Trustpilot before, but Bird Eye, they are a partner with us throughout this process, and they actually own it with us, alongside of us. So they own the successes and the failures, and they'll own up to, okay, this is what we're seeing in similar industries. You might want to try this, that, and the other thing. So for us all along, it's been putting that survey in the customer's hands as quickly as possible and pulling that feedback from the customer internal versus letting them blast us on Google, blast us on Yelp, right? Just finding those other billboard effect, because, you know, that's what people like to do. They like to complain all over the place until you notice me. Well, what we're trying to do is insert ourselves going, hey, we think you had a good transaction. Tell us you had a good transaction, and pull that feedback immediately, call it offline, right? And have them internalize that communication, as opposed to going out to Facebook and saying, oh, this is, you know,
sure,
they screw you over, right? And this is terrible and all that type of stuff. So that's the part that we're doing a better job of, and getting it. We're looking at testing out, let's put it this way, testing out where that survey should be done, when it should be done, how it should be done, whether it's through a text message push, whether it's right there at the location as soon as they return the car and they're taking the shuttle back to the airport. Is it that quick, right? What is that timing to get those, get the feedback, and also get those promoters to say, hey, it was a good experience, right? I showed up, the agent was nice, I returned the car, the shuttle was waiting for me. Please leave us a positive review. Tell us that you actually genuinely, we'll be back. Mm-hmm. And that was the part that was missing until we leveraged a Bird Eye and worked out the timing of those questions and the quantity of those questions. I went through and I rewrote the entire NPS survey, and I said, you guys are doing this way wrong. They kept asking the whys. Mm. And I went, that's not an NPS. Mm. An NPS is one question, right?
Exactly.
How likely is it that you're going to recommend this brand to a friend?
Yep.
That's the only question I give a shit about. Can we at least ask that question and then say, can I ask you more later?
Right.
Right. Give me my 10 and say, yo, how likely are you? So that's where marketing got involved. And I rewrote it and told them, look, eliminate all this other stuff. They, like, one of the questions actually had 12 different reasons for their answer on one of the questions.
And wow. I went,
how the hell do you wait 12 minutes? I don't even know what the waiting mechanism is behind it. And I even asked them, so where are the stats on this? There are none. Right? So what are you doing with the answers? Nothing. We just like to see what the customer complaints are.
Wow.
So that's been the biggest shift overall is marketing kind of going, look, I need those promoters, and I need to know who the hell those people are. I need to keep those people coming back, and I need them to be my ally behind this. So that way I can drive future marketing strategies so I can get more lookalikes. Mm. Because when I know who the hell those people are, right? I know that guy in Austin, you know, the Jerry Jones in Dallas, Texas is not my ideal customer, right? It's you know, some guy that's up in the middle of Kansas, right? That might be looking to save money because he's got all these other expenses at home.
Mm. How do you combine intuition and analytics kind of in your decision-making process? Because I see, like, you kind of strike me as a guy that has like a gut kind of intuitive sense about marketing and about behavior. Of course, comes your experience and just kind of who you are. And then, of course, data and analytics are really important. How are you kind of dancing with those things?
I have a standing weekly meeting with our revenue management department that there's a director of analytics.
Okay.
And I listen to them for a full hour, kind of go through where the data is telling us and what's actually happening currently, what's real, what's happening now, what's happening in 30 days, what's happening in 90 days. And as far out as we're even going out as far as 6 months and looking at the data. So we know where those entry points are, where we need to be more relevant, where we need to hit the customer with our message. And then the other part of it that, you know, going into the intuition piece of it is I look at it from my own personal planning. When am I thinking about my family vacation? When am I thinking about getting away? When is that noise, the outside noise, so problematic that I know I need to disconnect myself and putting that right message out there at that point in time? And it's worked on some of this stuff, knowing that, you're hitting October and you didn't get a chance to take a summer break and you're going, you probably need to get away before you head out to Thanksgiving. So you're kind of hitting those little weekend promotions out there right then and there.
Smart. Yeah, I like that. Can you talk a little bit about the B2B side of the business? Like, what is the unique messaging and the needs that the corporate customer has? Maybe that's unique from the average traveler.
Yeah, so what we found is that at Fox, we suck at B2B.
Mm.
We're not the B2B answer for any consumer. We are, if I was to borrow a hotel example, we are the Hampton of the Carbonyl space. We are that, we'll call it the Be Leisure type solution, right? So you might be traveling for a quick trip down to Austin to meet with a client, but you're going to long stay through the weekend because Austin this time of year is really great, right? So you're willing to kind of go, well, look, I'm not going to keep that Hertz car at $85 a day over the weekend. I'm going to go ahead and book Fox and carry it through the weekend because it has the same exact type of car that anybody else in the carbon industry has. It's a hell of a lot cheaper. And they're in terminal and on airport.
Mm.
So that's where kind of our sweet spot is, said, look, you know, when you're talking your own money, how would you rather spend it? Right. We're not going to steal a customer away from Hertz, National, Avis. It's just not logical for us to think that way. What we are going to take is that customer that, you know, possibly would have gone on, you know, a budget car rental because, you know, they're shared with Avis and go, no, I'm willing to kind of go one step lower and being relevant in that space. But the key aspect, like I said all along, is we got to hit on that service aspect.
Mm.
We can't show that there's a difference on that piece of it.
Did you want to do a rebrand of Fox? Or was that part of your, when you first started, like, it seems like from me outside looking in, there's an opportunity for a rebrand. But I don't know where that fit into your, you know, view. But was that something you saw or see? Or
yeah. And, you know, not opening the kimono too far. But there's been a lot of discussions, presentations okay. made and approved
okay.
down that path. So let's say it's coming soon.
Yeah, cool. And whether that part of the conversation makes it into the, you know, the published,
yeah.
You know, that's cool. But I think that's a big smart move, and I'm excited about that. Even more excited because you're at the helm there of marketing, and I feel you're already putting these foundational pieces that are really important to keep this brand relevant, you know, to keep this brand here today, but also tomorrow. And I think it's really interesting how you're thinking about it. You have a unique affiliate program. Can you kind of tell us about how it works and how it kind of serves your mission and vision in marketing?
Yeah. So with the economical staff from historically being an entrepreneurial organization, you can't really build a franchise network. There's a lot of overhead. There's a lot of governance. There's a lot of cross-checking and everything else. So what we looked at is, like, what's the quickest way to get a global presence? And what you find is you find local market heroes. There's a lot of carbon companies that are across the globe that are not, you know, the big three or anybody else, right, that exists out there that specialize in being that in-market provider. So we looked at it and went, you know what? You're really good at what you do in Cabo San Lucas. You're really good at what you do in Puerto Vallarta. would you like to be a Fox affiliate? And so a lot of those were, you know, individually owned organizations that we gave them the distribution on an Expedia, you know, on a Priceline, on these big stages that there's no way in the world an Expedia or Priceline would ever talk to these guys and put their product out there because they don't know them and they don't want to negotiate with them. They don't want to work on the customer service aspect. So we looked at it and said, okay, look, we can put you out there. We charge you a small fee as far as percent of your res distribution. And you just have to put up a Fox sign at your location that says, you know, Fox customers come here. Mm. The big sign might be, you know, Puerto Vallarta car rental, but the main distribution or the main brand that they're booking through would be Fox because they might have seen Fox in LA. They might have seen Fox in Orlando. Like, okay, that was a good experience there. So let's go there. So that's where we bridged it. And selfishly, that was our inbound strategy as well. Because if that local, you know, customer in Italy, in Mexico, in Puerto Rico, all these areas that we would have, you know, an affiliate sees that, they're more likely to give us a shot whenever they do book the US.
How do you use influencer marketing in your strategy, if at all?
You know, it's definitely an area that we're looking at now that we've kind of got, you know, some other pieces working and rolling forward. And one of I think the sweet spots is areas where we can actually be unique and exclusive that the other car rental brands wouldn't necessarily take a chance in those spaces. I left the car rental industry, back in 2014, and I went into high-end marine electronics. Mm. So I worked for a company called Navico, and underneath Navico,
yeah. Yep.
So underneath that is there's a brand called Lowrance, who's, you know, fish finders that are on boats and everything. And I went to the trade show with them, literally like 60 days after joining the organization. And one of the coolest things that I ever experienced in my life was going to a trade show and have customers excited to talk to you. Never before in the car rental space have I ever been into a booth and have people go, yo, can I have one of your hats? Can I have one of your stickers? Can I have something like that? Right? You're going, yeah. Wow, this is awesome, right? From a car rental standpoint, you get people that come up to you and go, let me tell you about this experience that I had at San Francisco Airport. Like, I can't do anything about that. But, you know, car rental was always that negative conversation. Let me tell you about this bad experience I had. So being on that high-end marine electronics side and giving people a hat and having them tell you a story about how great it was that I caught like this big fish or how, you know, awesome it was to avoid, you know, certain obstacles or to find their certain waypoints that they were looking for. One of the cool things was how much other people that talk about your product meant to another customer actually buying your product and finding those persons. And there was a gentleman that I tapped into is a guy by the name of Noah Pescatelli. And he does a little video podcast, blog, vlog that is called Kicking Their Bass TV. And he's an 18-year-old. Back then, he was an 18-year-old that mommy and daddy bought him a boat and a truck. And he went out there and just started fishing. He got pretty damn good at it. And he showed up at our booth at the Bassmaster Classic, which is the biggest tournament. And there were kids standing in line while he's talking to me, engaging with me in a conversation because I was negotiating with him to be an influencer at the time and just wanted to get a selfie with him. Just wanted to get a selfie with this guy that they've watched on YouTube and he had millions and millions of followers out there. And I went, wow, because this guy is who he is and that personality that he has in the online space on YouTube and everywhere else. It's crazy to see that impact of that brand reputation. So that's where I'm at now is I'm kind of going, okay, where is that person? Who is that person that is that, yep, you know, enigmatic type of personality that I can use, mm-hmm, that they do stupid stuff with, you know, when they go travel, right? But they're doing it in a Fox rental car. So they kind of give me that plug,
sure,
and it shows them walking up to it.
Sure.
But it's kind of that thing that, okay, I'm going to take my rental car and because I have unlimited miles, I'm going to go all the way up to here and I'm going to do this stupid thing. Right. And I can leverage that content. So that's the piece that I'm looking for is that oddity that
I like that
I'm not the primary message. I'm just I'm a vehicle.
Pun intended. Yeah.
But so that's the path that we're going down. That's exactly what we're looking at 22 to kind of grab that. Because again, it's a low cost adventure too.
That's cool.
It's crazy. Right. Because right. Hashtag sponsored. Right. That's what people are looking to do.
Yep.
And they don't care if you give them $2,000.
Right.
Right. It's kind of do it. Right.
That's right.
And from my standpoint, I give you the car. right? Mm-hmm. Go out and do your little adventure. Here's a card. You just got to mention me.
Yep. No, I think that's it. That's going to be, that'll be a good play. And thinking strategically about who or who they are is going to be cool. So I'm excited about this brand. This has been awesome. Have you done many podcasts?
No.
Is this your first one?
This is my very first one.
Yes. Okay, cool. Because I searched for you and couldn't find you in any podcasts, but it doesn't mean you didn't do any.
Yeah, but the only other thing I did one time is at a Salesforce conference last year, I got to ask Matthew McConaughey a question.
Hey, what'd you ask him?
So I asked him, being a person that is known for three words, saying three words, you know, over and over again, how have you, you know, leveraged that, capitalized that in your career? Mm. And so he...
What'd he say?
He ended up saying, you know, he ended up giving me the all right, all right, all right on the lives. I was like, that was fantastic. And everybody else got a...
That's it. Mic drop.
Everybody else got a big kick out of it. But for him, he kind of goes back to, and he told a story. And when I did some research afterward, he has tweaked the story a little bit, but he goes back to exactly how he adopted that role towards exactly what his message is as a person, as a human being, and how that's kind of built on him through the years of being the person in that moment with the right person at the right time and staying true to that type of being that individual. So I like that, and I like the human aspect of that response. And he seemed to be not that pretentious movie actor at the time, and very relatable, very approachable.
Sure.
Which is probably why he continues to give back at, you know, like universities, like University of Texas, right? With his classes. So that was kind of cool.
For sure. Yeah. I've heard that about him as well. And his book is on I haven't read his book yet, but I have a bunch of friends that read his book, and they're all telling me you got to read his book. Audio book, they said, is the way to do it.
Is he the speaker on it?
Yeah. He reads it. Yeah. He's reading the book. So that's say no more. I'm in.
Right. You get Matthew McConaughey in your ear.
Exactly. He's great. I'm a fan. I'm bullish on McConaughey. So cool. Okay. Let's get in the lightning round.
Okay.
Speaking of Salesforce, Marketing Trends is brought to you by Salesforce. Salesforce brings marketing and engagement together. Learn more at salesforce.com/marketing. Steve Mazinski, head of global marketing at Fox Trinicar. Lightning round. First question, texting or talking?
Texting.
What do you love and appreciate about yourself?
That I can find a humor in any conversation.
That's important. Favorite day of the week?
Sunday.
I was going to guess maybe Sunday or Thursday was my guess. Okay. Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Well, I'm just going to go with my hometown, Cleveland, because I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan.
Okay. Go Cleveland. What was the last film you saw in a theater?
Wow. The one I remember the most is because I fell asleep.
Okay.
But it's not the last movie, but we saw Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Christmas one. I fell asleep during the movie.
Okay. That's hilarious. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Every language in the world, just going back to my international roots for sure.
Okay. I like it. What's your favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Okay. And what was your favorite live concert?
Garth Brooks.
Oh, that's a good one.
I saw him at Driller Stadium in Tulsa. So it was an outdoor concert that he did over 5 days.
Wow.
And I got to shake his hand at the end when he came by the audience. So that was kind of that whole...
Nice.
Right?
And the thunder rolls. I love it. Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. How good of a driver are you, Steve?
Are you asking my wife?
Or this is you. This is you.
I would give myself an 8.
Okay. Strong 8. Fill in the blank. Something wise my elders taught me was?
Be polite.
Invisibility or super strength?
I think invisibility could get yourself into some trouble. So I'm going to go invisibility.
Okay. Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
Absolutely. Okay. Stay true to who you are.
That's right. I love it. If you weren't in marketing, what would you be doing?
Wow. I would like to say that I would probably own some type of retail store.
Oh, really?
Okay. And interact with customers, because that's the greatest thing that I like, is I like interacting with people.
Perfect. Okay. Last two questions. Least favorite marketing buzzword?
Buzzword in general is on the same page.
On the same page. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. Last question. What would you go back and tell your younger self about being a marketing leader?
Be patient. Just things will happen. You just have to, you know, wait for them to happen and don't rush.
I love that.
Because, you know, early on I did.
Okay.
It was really just, it wasn't highly focused on the, let's call it your, not really, 5-10 year plan, but just, I'm a very fast person, as you can tell. I talk really fast and I tend to, yeah.
You like to go. I get it. Cool. Okay. Awesome. Steve, this has been an exceptional conversation, man. I'm super excited for what you're doing at Fox Rent-A-Car. Your background's awesome, man. You're the right guy there for that role. And I'm excited to see what happens in the next 12 months. Congratulations again. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for checking out another episode of Business Insights and Inspiration on Marketing Trends. If you liked what you heard and are interested in partnering with us to bring your brand to a growing audience of marketing experts, reach out to info@mission.org to get the conversation started.